Good morning and welcome to the Daily Ding. Happy Wednesday, everybody. We have your NBA draft lottery and Western Conference Finals Game 2 action all covered. I'm Dave DeFore. That's Mo DeKeel. Mo, we got to jump right in because look, we had a fantastic buzzer beater. Even if the finish itself wasn't great, the buzzer beater was fantastic in Phoenix. The Suns now have a 2-0 lead over the Clippers with a 104-103 win on the back, Mo, of one of the best buzzer beaters in NBA history.
I mean, this was amazing. It was, first off, a great game. I mean, down the stretch, you have guys hitting shots and things like that. And then Monty Williams just draws up a gem for a baseline out of bounds, like a deep corner baseline out of bounds, not even like a normal position baseline out of bounds play, draws up a gem. Crowder, first off, Ty Lue does what we always say, put a big man on the inbounder in that instance. And at that point, it's DeMarcus Cousins, so I don't know how nimble he is with that. But Crowder throws a perfect pass after Devin Booker sets a great screen, throws the lob up to DeAndre Ayton, and he just takes it home from there.
Yeah, you cannot have goaltending on an inbounds because you cannot have a shot from out of bounds, Mo. And, you know, I've talked about this play for years. Jay Triano loves this play. It was a fantastic pass from Jay Crowder. Ayton, of course, makes the play. But none of that happens if Devin Booker, the star of the team, doesn't just absolutely hammer Zubac on a screen.
It was great. He sets the screen great. And having him as the screener is perfect because Batum's afraid to help off of him because he's worried of him being able to pop out. And with 0.9 seconds left, that's enough time for him to catch and get a shot off. And with Booker, he can make it. I think he had a shot similar like this in the bubble. I think it was against the Clippers.
Deja vu.
So it was just kind of the flip, but he sets the, having him as the screener is really what makes that play, you know, the chef's kiss. Just, mwah.
Well, let's talk a little bit about how we got to that point. You know, look, this is a game for me, Mo, that Phoenix just felt like they controlled for most of it, but then it was closer than I thought it should have been at the end. Did you feel the same way about this?
Well, if you took the scoreboard out of the equation for the whole game, you would have thought the Suns were up at least by 10 towards down the stretch. And give the Clippers credit. Shot poorly tonight, you know, shot poorly in the first half, got it going a little bit better in the second half, you know, but they just kind of stayed with it and were always within striking distance. I think the largest lead was 7 points the Suns had. You know, it never really got out of control and they kind of continued to respond. It was just, you know, and it put them in a position and they almost stole this one.
Yeah, the Suns did not have a great shooting night. They were only 6 of 26 from 3. And you know, this was a game where I thought they really missed Chris Paul, especially early when they just couldn't get stuff going. It seemed like their offense was just a little bit off, especially in that second quarter. And then Dario Saric came in. I thought he was great as far as boosting the amount of energy they had on the court.
I mean, this was a others game. You know, Devin Booker didn't play that well. Paul George didn't play well for the Clippers. Everybody else played well for both teams. It was the others that really stepped up and carried them until down the stretch when those guys started making big shots, you know, and Sarge was awesome in that stretch. There was like moments where, you know, Cam Johnson had a good run in the third quarter. DeAndre Ayton starts the third quarter with a phenomenal sequence. You know, Luke Kennard starts the fourth quarter and gets the Clippers going again. You know, there was just good runs from individual guys, not from the guys we would expect it from. But Dave, here's the real thing. Clippers had 30 points in the paint. That's pretty nice. The Suns had 60. That's the game at the end of the day. And the Clippers defense was giving up too many straight line drives, allowing the Suns to get in there. Cameron Payne, it was just a layup line for him all night, it felt like.
Yeah, I mean, the Suns shot 62.5% on twos. That's a winning formula for them. DeAndre Ayton had 24 points, 14 rebounds. Again, this guy just continues to have monster performances in the playoffs. For a young guy like this, especially a center, is this still surprising you, or do you just think Ayton is here now?
No, it's still surprising me a little bit. He's definitely gone up, but like, you know, it's funny because like, I know you always want to claim guys right away are here and have made it. But I think, you know, he's great. He's been awesome throughout the playoffs. It's continuing the development, but this is just a great stretch. That third quarter sequence was amazing from him because it was both ends. He got a block, ran down in transition, got the rebound, quick pass to Mikal Bridges for a layup, came down, they got a turnover, he runs the lane and gets a bucket off of that. Like, his defense was great. It's for me now with him, it's going to be consistently doing it. And that's like a greater picture down the road type deal, but he's been phenomenal and he's grown up so much in this playoffs. It has been very impressive.
You mentioned not a great game from Paul George, and listen, he almost won this game for him down the stretch. He hit a big bucket. He had those two free throws.
That was it. I mean, that's part of that is fatigue, you know, and, you know, I think that's going to be the thing, but at the end of the day too, you got to make those free throws. If you're tired or not, whatnot, this is the chance to steal a game on the road in the Western Conference Finals. You got to make those free throws. And listen, I know a lot of people are going to start going at him for this. Paul George has atoned himself, folks, for what he did winning those two games against the Jazz to get to the conference finals. So y'all need to chill out here a little bit. I know y'all are going nuts as we're recording on Twitter, but you got to get off him here a little bit. He missed the free throws. It sucks, but they also wouldn't have been positioned with him splitting the defense in transition to get the bucket, making the mid-ranger against Jay Crowder after Devin Booker hit his mid-ranger. So everybody needs to chill out.
Yeah, 5 of 10 from the free throw line, though, not great. I mean, you got to look at that. If you're Paul George, you're probably kicking yourself right now because this is a game that they should have won. Now, they didn't play like it the whole game, but they had it in their hand down the stretch. If he hits those free throws, they likely walk away with it. And you know, they just got outdone. On the other end, I thought Paul George's fatigue really showed up on the defensive end. Campaign cooked him numerous times tonight.
Do they know he's left-handed?
No, they don't.
Because they just, I mean, they part of it was they were icing and pushing him towards the sideline, which was letting him get to his left. But you're letting a lefty go at Zubac with his left hand. I was not very, but even in situations where it wasn't a pick and a roll, you would just see it. And these guys would be positioned where they were trying to take away his right hand. And listen, as a lefty, when I play basketball, I'm literally dribbling with my right hand to get people to think I'm right-handed so I can just get to my left and get my layup because I really can't go to my right. And that's a scouting report for everybody else about me. But that, I mean, like he's just able to get to the left over and over again. When Zubac got the big block, he went to his right. And I'm not saying he can't finish right and things like that, but it made it a little bit easier for Zubac. I think that's an important thing to look for them. But defensively, he definitely struggled, as did all the Clippers.
Yeah, the Clippers were just bad, I thought, for the most part, especially up top, man. I mean, Campaign really just put it on him. 29 points and 9 assists from Campaign. I mean, look, if you get a performance like that out of Campaign, I think you have to win this game. You know, you don't have Chris Paul. It's a home game, and you got 29 from Campaign. So it's a good thing for Phoenix that they actually did manage to pull this out. Is there anything here that you see good for the Clippers that they should carry over into Game 3 as they try to win a game in this series?
I mean, I think they should feel encouraged, even though they've lost these two games. They lost it by a combined 7 points. You know, you were in positions to, you know, a couple of breaks go the other way in Game 1 and you steal that one. I mean, 2 free throws here and you win this one. It's you were right in position to win these games. And, you know, everybody's favorite cliche: doesn't start till a home team loses a playoff game. And, you know, so now you're going back to LA, and the Clippers have been here before twice, being down 0-2 going, you know, and this time going home. So I think I wouldn't count them out yet. I mean, they're just right there. I think they got to tweak a few things. They got to figure out how to defend the Suns Spain pick and roll. But besides that, I think I'm not going to write them off yet, but also the Suns are a little bit different than these other teams they faced.
Yeah, absolutely. And they may get Chris Paul back in Game 3, which, you know, that's a huge you want to talk about a counter. I mean, if you're the Clippers, you're having to guess right now who you're even having to prepare for. They add Chris Paul to this mix, and all of a sudden, 3-0 looks kind of likely.
Well, I mean, they're I trust that they're preparing for all of this. I imagine they were ready for Chris Paul in even game one, just because it wasn't sure until game one that he wasn't playing. It wasn't sure until, you know, I think it was yesterday afternoon. They've been planning for this. So I'm not worried about the game planning aspect of Chris Paul coming in.
We got a little bit of news, Mo. The NBA held its annual draft lottery tonight. And look, man, we had some winners. I don't know. Can you have losers if it's a lottery? I mean, you're just in it. I don't know if you can be a loser, but we do have some winners. And I
got
to say.
No, you got. I'll name you one loser for sure if you want. I mean, we can just.
Yeah, tell me the losers.
No, the loser right now is Minnesota. I mean, you know, they lose their draft pick, Dave. That's losing. That's how you lose in the draft lottery, Dave. You were in the lottery, and now you don't have a draft pick.
There you go. Well, the Minnesota Timberwolves, perpetual losers. They lost that pick. It goes number 7 to the Golden State Warriors, who also have the 14th pick. But the Detroit Pistons, they get the honor of being able to draft Cade Cunningham. Presumably, well, I'm assuming that's what they're going to do. Houston Rockets get the 2nd pick. The Cavs get the 3rd. And the Raptors round out the top 4. Orlando has pick 5 and 8. OKC did all that tanking and only wound up with the 6th pick. Well, is that a little bit of karma? What are we calling this?
No, yeah, no. You literally trashed the games down the stretch and you know, to try to get the number 1 pick. And I'm not sad for you that it didn't work out that way.
Yeah, moment of the night for me was Swin Cash forgetting she was on camera for a second and being disappointed at landing the 10th pick, because, you know, I think too often in these things they're a little bit, you know, it's a little too canned. People are a little bit too, you know, they're not comfortable. And she was clearly very comfortable in her environment, so that was fun to see. I feel like I'd probably feel the same way. So who do you want to see draft Cade if he doesn't go 1? I mean, I'm assuming he's going 1, but do you have a favorite destination for Cade Cunningham?
Oh, I mean, like if you're Houston, you would be ecstatic if he drops to them at 2. I don't have a favorite. You know me, Dave. I haven't watched it. I'm just beginning to watch college basketball clips to study for the draft. Like literally just started on Tuesday.
Yeah, I'm going to catch up on the draft after the draft at some point, once I know where these guys are going to go. That's going to do it for today's show, folks. Don't forget about all the podcasts we've got over at The Athletic. If you haven't already signed up, go to theathletic.com/dailyding and do it now. Thank you guys for waking up with us. Mo, do your thing.
Ding, ding.